There was this non-Jew that used to join the Pesach celebration in Yerushalayim. He liked celebrations. It's a grand celebration, a festival. So, and when hundreds of thousands of people are coming, you know, it's obvious that anybody that wants to participate can get it. No one's going to know who everyone is. So he came. That was solid v'ochel psoch of Yerushalayim. Year by year he used to come. He used to come up to Yerushalayim, join up with some group, and enjoy the Korban Pesach. Omar. And he said to himself, in effect, or he said to, perhaps it came to the ears, it's a little bit hard to know that how this came about. But Omar, he expressed, Ksiv kol ben neichar lo yechavo, that non-Jews may not participate in the Korban Pesach. Kol aro lo yechavo, v'noha ka yichlo, ka achil no mishufre shufre. And I managed to get the best pot. I get the best steak every year from the Korban Pesach. So however it was that he expressed himself, that somehow it became known, whether he expressed it to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. Amar le Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, mikosofu lecha me'alma. Did it really give you the best part? Did it give you the tail? Amar le loy. They never gave me the tail. So kisalkas lahosam. The next year he went to the Korban to participate in the Korban Pesach. Aimel who suffered in my own, you know, I never got the, I've eaten, you know, the tenderloins, the sirloins, you know, but the porterhouse steak, but I never had the tail yet, and I want a chance to get the tail. Omrulei, al yulagavoa salka. That goes to the Mizbeach. Omrulei, man omalachachach. So who, where did you get this idea to get the Aliyah from? Where did you come up with such a thing? Amalahu Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, the great sage Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, he's the one that gave me this idea. Amru, my high to come up. So what is this guy? Who is this guy that's come here? That Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra said to go give him a piece of the tail. It's obviously something strange. Bot Basrei, they investigated the matter of Ashtachu with Armahu, and they found that there is a Nanju Makatlu, and they put him to death. Why they put him to death? Some say because he was a Vigzela, he was a Chuyav Misa, Vigzela. Maybe there's a Zilzel in the Carbonus, whatever, maybe that's the reason. But the Shaila is.
Zilzel in the Carbonus would be Chayav Misa?
Maybe, I don't know exactly.
For a Ben Noach, Zela is
yes, Chai Mesa. Yeah.
What about a Zohar Karev Yumas?
No.
That's good to actually do that vote, though.
Yeah.
I think so. I think show it up. I think you go past a certain point, you're
famous. Well, he obviously didn't go past that point.
Okay.
Nobody was going to let him. So the Shaila is. So he says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, ka'amar li she'ein atem noisin li chelek yofa. You guys are cheating me. Elam al ha'kochosh, v'ani nasati domen kum, okay, listen, I'm a dues paying member, I paid to join this Korban Pesach, you know, I have to get my fair share. Ma'i di kamon mo'hadobar azeh shavol lefaneinu.
And it wasn't gazela, if you paid.
So, I'm just saying, that's one shot, you know, but according to Rashi, you couldn't learn that way. There are varied some, I think Rabbi Chanan wants to suggest gazela, could be Zilzel and Kochim, maybe it was the reason. Sholchulei the Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Sholoim lecho Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, Da'at ben Netzivan, you sit in the city of Netzivan, and Umitzudoscha Prusa B'Yerushalayim, and yet your net, your influence, reaches all the way to the city of Yerushalayim. So the Shaila is, what were Chazal trying to teach us? Story. Rashi says why the story was brought here, it's connected to another story in the book. What were Chazal trying to teach us? You know, that they that they gave him Misa, I don't think that's what Chazal were trying to teach us. We're not even sure why they gave him Misa, on what basis that took place. And I don't think, if you wanted to tell me that Chiddush, this is not the place, so put it in Masechta Sanhedrin and tell it to me. This is not the place. So I think Chazal wanted to teach us something else. Which is that he was right. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra didn't mislead him. The Aliyah is the best one. That's a fact. And I don't think the guy wasn't foolish. We might not eat the Aliyah because maybe there's chaylev there, but the guy ate the Aliyah plenty of times in his life. He could try out the Aliyah before he came to see if he's really going to like it. So he was obviously convinced that this is better than a sirloin steak. So, in actuality, what Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra told him was right. This is the best pot. Chazal wanted to teach us that in our attitudes, in avodah, the best is for the Rabbi Yishalot. That's the yesod of avodah.
Kayim and hevel.
That was hevel surpassed kayim. Who initiated the carbon was kayim. But kayim had a very utilitarian view of things. And kayim said, "Listen, the Rabbeinu Shlomo is not going to eat it anyhow." So what's the difference to him if he has the best or the worst? It's all the same. So what was Hevel's response? He's right from that standpoint, Kai. But yet he's wrong in the halacha. Because it's not from the standpoint of the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's from our standpoint. What should I dedicate to the Rabbeinu Shalom? The Rabbeinu Shalom doesn't need the best and he doesn't need the worst. But what I should dedicate to the Rebbeinu Shalom is the best of what I have. The service of the Rebbeinu Shalom is so worthy and so significant that I should give the best. And that was Kayin's mistake. Kayin looked at it in truly utilitarian terms. You know, one guy comes, and Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have taste buds. So it doesn't make much of a difference what food you give him. It's all the same thing. The other guests, it has a very keen sense of taste. So every bar das would tell you, listen, if you have one really good portion of food and then one mediocre one, so the mediocre gift to the one that will never know the difference, and the really good one gift to the guy that has good taste buds. So that kind of a very simple cheshbon. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is happy with the bad as he is with the good, so why give him the good? For me, the good is important, so I'll keep the good for myself. But the attitude has to be that we dedicate the best to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And this is a theme in the halacha, it's in Karbonos, that in Trumas we have to give an ayofa from the best. The right to build the Beis HaKnesses has to be on a higher standard than the way we live. The service of the Rebbeinu Shalom demands that we give the best of ourselves for it. And Pesach is particularly that chag. And I think that's why this Maisa is Masechta of Psachim. Pesach is unusual among all the chagim. And in the sense that the attitude of the halacha on Pesach is very, very machmir. And then we find two reasons for it. We find the reason, one is because Pesach is unusual that it has chorus associated with it. But beyond that, we have in the Achronim something called Chumrah de Pesach. Pesach in general, we take a more machmir stance. Perhaps they all coalesce into the fact that when it comes to Pesach, we try to do everything at the highest standard. We don't want to look to define that which we can get by with. We get by with a lot of things in life, but we wish to serve the Rabbeinu Shalom at the highest standard, which is really what the Ramchal defines as the standard that's Lifnei Meshor HaSadeh. Shura Sadin, I have to be Mekayim, what the Skom al HaLoch is. Most posts, that's what I'm a chuyuv to do. But when it comes to Pesach, we pull out all the stops. We Mekayim everything to the nth degree. And endless minhogim of being Machmer in Hilchos Pesach. Because that's the expression of the relationship we have with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Is in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, in the chayrus with which we were endowed at Pesach, there's nothing that's too much to do for the Rabbeinu Shalom. So this is the very notion of the Chag, which is just over the horizon. Slowly coming into sight. We passed the Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag already. This is the Pesach season of Halach officially begins. This Mamadikas Chometz began already. One that leaves his home presently, even if he doesn't plan to come back for Pesach, as we have to do Bedikas Chometz. The Pesach season is upon us. So this is a perspective that we have to have on the celebration of the Chag of Pesach. And there was nothing that the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Gulas Yisrael, there's nothing that the Rabbeinu Shalom didn't do for Klal Yisrael. And it's only commensurate, it's Mida Keneged Mida, the Aveda, that we accept upon ourselves. In the Haggadah we state that the Rabbeinu Shalom came, the Erech Misposesses B'damayich, O'im Malach B'damayich Hayi, O'im Malach B'damayich Hayi. So as Chazal tell us, Rashi in Parshas Bo, Nishchul Kulachem Tzayim B'shachetu HaPosach, that the time came for the Gula, and we did not have a schus with which to go out. So what did the Rabbeinu Shalom do? He didn't tell us, well, to bear on you. But the Rabbeinu Shalom provided us with the schus. He gave us the mitzvahs called Pesach, so that we should have a schus. Right? And Mila. Well, Mila we had before, it elapsed. We started to practice Mila again. He gave us a new mitzvah of called Pesach. For what reason? So that we should have the opportunity to have the schus with which to go out. And it was Nakosom Shamati. And the Ramban states, what is Nakosom? It's Kamainakas Cholo. The scream of a person who's being assaulted. Yashaber Soloveitchik Zatzal defined that. That the tefillah was not a tefillah of a high caliber, which came truly from a recognition of the Rabbeinu Shalom and a deep-seated commitment to the Rabbeinu Shalom. It came out of, it was a cry of despair. He cried out of despair to the Rabbeinu Shalom, out of the suffering that we had in Israel. And yet, despite the fact that it was just a cry of despair, the Rabbeinu Shalom accepted it as a full-fledged tefillah, as if it came with the full depth of understanding. So the Rabbeinu Shalom's chasodim for Klal Yisrael do no bounds. And similarly, the avodah that we have for the Rabbeinu Shalom also knows no bounds. The celebration of the Chagim is in reality differentiated from Shabbos. Shabbos, we happen to be the ones that celebrate. But Shabbos touches something which is universal. He shakes Yom Mosa Hashem as a Shemaim as a Hatz. That's universal. That is not something, in fact, as the Mephorshim ask in the Aseres HaDibros, what does it begin? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Ribbono Shel Olam's calling God is much greater than that. Asher Barasi Shamayim V'aretz. That's the universal connection with the world. The Chagim, or the particular Avo that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael, they have no association with the world as all. It's true. The observance of Shabbos is relegated to Klal Yisrael. It's not the Merosh of anyone else. But that which it celebrates is universal. That which we celebrate on the Chag is particular. The particular relationship, the Ava, the closest, the Chiba that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has for Klal Yisrael, that's what we're celebrating on the Chag.
So that Shabbos happens irrespective of Klal Yisrael, the Chagim only happen.
Right, the Chagim, we need to be Mekadosh, we're instrumental in bringing forth the Kedushas HaChag.
Rosh Hashanah is also the Yom HaDin for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah, when I'm dealing with Shalosh Shogolah, I'm not dealing with Rosh Hashanah and Kippur.
Okay.
Rosh Hashanah and Kippur is a particular chesed that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam revealed to us this man of the Din. And he gave us mitzvahs associated with that, so we should be able to be zoicha b'din. We're dealing with the Chagim, the Sholosh Rogolim. The Sholosh Rogolim are unique to Klal Yisrael. They're about the association of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with Klal Yisrael. That's one thing. There's a second, there's a difference in the observance of Shabbos and Yom Tov, how we observe them, which has to do with what the avodah of each particular one is. Ramea Simcha writes that there is a unity of worship, of service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, which is achieved in different ways. We can have a unity of worship with our brethren throughout the world. Not because we celebrate actually together with them, but we all celebrate the Shabbos. So we're here, they're there, but we all have a unified religious celebration. The Ramea Simcha says Shabbos is each person ultimately is restricted in how much association you can have with others on Shabbos. Why? Because we don't allow the preparation of any food on Shabbos. If I come to Shul on Shabbos, and the 15 people that I want to invite home, can't. Why? There's nothing to feed them, you know? You know, it'll be a weekday, I'll come in 2 hours, I'll bring 15 people, I have a reason, you know? That's only half children. But on Shabbos, there's nothing to do about it. Elamai, I'll bring food from someplace else. So it's also on Shabbos. Can't do that either. So consequently, each one of us is in our own sphere on Shabbos, or each little group is in its own sphere. And the possibilities of interaction with others are limited. But the unifying aspect is that we all have the same celebration. Yom Tov, on the other hand, and this is based on the Rambam, a major notion of Yom Tov is to bring people together, bring the Klal Yisrael together. Therefore, Ramea Simcha says that's why the halacha allows for ochel nefesh on Yom Tov, and allows for hitzah on Yom Tov, to give us maximum flexibility in the social sense. I meet a person, I want to invite him over, come right over, we'll put up another piece of chicken for him.
I don't have food in my house. I'll bring from someplace else. I'll bring another two chalas from someplace else. Shabbos, even with the Eiru, what happened this past Shabbos? We had Nisan. We had no chalas. The chalas didn't get delivered Friday. But Barasha, we still had nobody. We couldn't bring the chalas now. Now there were no chalas. Nobody could bring chalas and matas from the house. The Rebbeinu Shalom was kind that we had a whole week's chalas downstairs in the freezer. So we had chalas shudas, but we were limited. If we had the turnout that we had a couple of weeks ago, that's it. It wouldn't have gone. So Yontif, the Rambam writes, is to bring the association among Klal Yisrael. And in that association, we worship together. We're together. We're drawn together directly. Yes?
Isn't the Korban Chagiga an indication that Hashem wants us to join together, that we bring during the Yontif, because people have to find other people to join them?
In all probability, a person can't eat, you know, a whole chagiga by himself.
Right, no.
You know.
And 40 lachem.
That's a korban toda.
That's right, a toda. Well, that's usually most of the money spent in Yerushalayim was from Maaser Sheni. You had to join a group. So that's the dynamic of Yom Tov. That's what the Gemara says in Chagiga, in the last parak of Chagiga. There were varied aspects of stringencies imposed to preserve the Tara of the Beis HaMikdash and other sanctified items. Yet, when it came to the Chagim, to the Sholosh Regalim, they eased all the rabbinic restrictions that are mentioned there. And they allowed everybody then to Chaberim Kol Yisrael. Everyone who was Chaber was a person who undertook to be meticulous in his observance of the laws of Tumah Taira. And the Chagim is Chaberim Kol Yisrael.
But they didn't total everything afterwards.
Good, that's something else. But for the Yom Tovim, we let everybody in. Everyone was allowed into the Midrash.
Yeah.
So, there should not be a polarization by having, you know, different strata in the society. A Yid, you were allowed into the Mikdash. Nobody asked you how exactly from you are, how unfrom you are, how learned you are, how unlearned you are. You showed up, you wanted to come in, they let you in. Everyone was given the opportunity to participate in the experience of the Mikdash. That's Chaverim Kol Yisrael. After Yom Tov, they took all the kelim and they threw them into the mikvah. But this is to achieve that end. That's to achieve that end of the closeness of people. I'm going to have a chumash. I'm going to show you something very interesting. Chumash, I need a Megillas Esther. Regular chumash suffices. That's all. It's fine. That's the regular chumash.
I don't need any. The Megillas Esther is in the back of the chumash.
Two statements. We have two statements concerning Purim. We have a Yikalu wa Yehudim Asher Rishushan. They gathered Gam b'yom Abbas of the Chodesh, Shara Yehudim Hashem Avdino Tzomadach Nikalu b'yom Eid al-Nafsham, etc. Yom Shlosh Abbas of the Chodesh Adar, they gathered throughout the land, V'roch b'Abbas of Abbas, Yisoh Yom Mishteh V'simcha. Test Yud Ches,
By Yehudim, Asher B'Shushan, Nikalu B'Shlosha Osebo, Ba'avo Osebo, Benoach B'Chamisha Osebo, Ba'osa Oysa Yehimishte B'Simcha. Okay, therefore, Yehudim aprozim ayoshim mori aprozim osim osim wa vos le chodesh ador simcho mishta viyonto u mishloach monos ish the reyayim. Okay, that is in posik yutes. Then vayichtoiv Mordechai es advorim ayino. Mordechai recorded these events that we have. He's the one, the author of the vayishlach svarim okola Yehudim. These 2 days. How should they be celebrated? Which we had, it says that the first celebration was Simcha Mishta V'Yontov. But Yontov is omitted, was come to that. Umishloach monos ishtar ayayu, which was mentioned the first time. Umatanos levyin. What happened? In posik yudches, rather in posik yudtes, simcho mishta v'yontov umishloach monos ishtar ayayu. And here we have umatanos levyin was added, and yontov was omitted. So the Gemara says that Yontif was omitted because they initially wanted to make it as a Yontif with the Isa Malacha,
right.
And they saw that that's too much. So they backed off. They decided not to institute Yontif, they're not a Yontif to that extent. But what happened? In the first celebration, Ayudim Ashur Vishusham Nikalu, Alkan Ayudim Aprozi Ashur, Oisim Ashur Mosul, Chodis Simcha Mishta, Yontif Ashloch Monos Ishtar Ayayu. And here we have all the son of Matanois Levionim and Pasuk Chav Beis. So what took place? So the Chai would seem what took place is the following. That initially, the celebration was also Yom Mishta V'Simcha, and the people Yoshim Moriah Proz Oisim Es Yomar Vosu L'Chodesh Ador Simcha Mishta V'Yontov V'Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyeyu. They were just involved in Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyeyu, and apparently it's Hayoshim Moriah Proz. Those were the first ones that observed Purim. They were the ones in the greatest danger. It was hardest to defend themselves. We don't find initially this understanding of but so they had it ended with Mishloach Monos. That's the natural order of celebration. At the time of celebration, we party and we exchange gifts with our friends. But Vayichtoiv Mordechai, that's not the way Purim is going to be. If Purim is merely that we're going to party and exchange gifts with our friends, then we didn't get there yet. A necessary component of Purim is a Matanos Levyonim. Meaning, there has to be this ava, this love for everybody in Klal Yisrael. The unifying aspect of it. That we're not just concerned with myself and those that are like me, but the person that's furthest from me is also included in the celebration. He's down and out. What do I have to do with him? He's not in my social sphere. I'll never break bread with him. It's true. And that's dafka why Matanos Levyonim. That's exactly the reason why we have to have Matanos Levyonim. So Mordechai added to what the initial celebration was. The initial celebration reached Mishloach Monos Ish L'Reyeyu. Seasonal exchange of gifts. But Mordechai said no. the embrace has to be of all of Klal Yisrael. So this is a notion that's a root notion. That's a root notion in Purim. It's the yisoid of the celebration of all the Chagim. It's how we join together as a people. How we join together as a people. Now Pesach particularly, Pesach, the first of the Chagim, celebrated this idea very much. We have a very strange thing. In Halach Ma'anya, we say the following: Kol dich v'nyeisa v'yecha, kol ditzrich yeisa v'yifsa. As we know, the kashas, one part of the Haggadah that we managed to learn is all the way up until Arami Ovidov. Just the part that really was supposed to learn, somehow we never got to learn that part in Yeshiva. What the Mishnah says is the Iker of the Haggadah. Somehow, all the Pshatim petered out up to that point. The Manashtana, the Ravona, Kiddush, Kol Dichu, Holach Ma'anya, there we have Pshatim to the Shemayim. When we get to the real Haggadah of Arami Yevirovi, not a word. But in Halach Ma'anya, we know the Kashas. Kol Dich V'nyeisa V'yechol. That's when you invite the poor man to come to your house. You wait till the night of the Seder. And not only that, but after you made Kiddush, then you extend the invitation. You couldn't extend it before. My brother-in-law Zeder of Tzion Brook, Chatzadik Levrocha, he once came to a town in Europe. He was instrumental in Chutz La'aretz, in Poland, in Russia, starting 22 yeshivas. He was in the Vatican, he used to travel in different places. He was instrumental in opening 22 yeshivas. So he came once to a town by himself, right before Pesach. And they were supposed to open a yeshiva right after Pesach in this town. And all he brought with him were the clothes on his back, I think, and a piece of shmura matzah. That's it. That's all he had with him. And he came to shul the first night of Yom Tov. Nobody in town knows him. Everybody goes out, and he's still standing there. And there's one guy that's still schmoozing with someone. Finally finishes schmoozing, he looks around, he sees him, and he says, "Hey, you want to come into home for the Seder with me?" He says, "Yeah." So he figures he better put on a good show. They'll invite him back the next day. Puts on a great show, the guy wishes him good Yom Tov, doesn't say a word to him. After davening the next day again, the guy schmoozing, he looks around, he sees him, he says, "You want to come with me?" He invited him for all the meals of Pesach, one meal at a time. Whatever. So that's what we do. Kol dich v'nyeisa v'yechol. We wait. Erev Yom Tov, we couldn't invite the guy. Even shul, we couldn't invite him. For Kiddush, we waited till we finished Kiddush. After Kiddush, it's kol dich v'nyeisa v'yechol. And then kol ditzrich yeisa v'yivsach. It's altogether not shayach. Right? As Ronnie mentioned, then a Pesach necha l'l'l'l'nuyo. You have to join a group at the time there. Erev Pesach. You can't just show up and sign and jump in.
Plus, there is no more Pesach when he's saying that.
It's also when it's not
when
there was
no Korban Pesach.
There was no Korban Pesach anyhow at the time. Right. This was written in Bovo. So what do they want with this? So I said, this has nothing to do with inviting the poor. That's not what it has to do with. Inviting the poor, we have to worry about long before we get to Pesach. It's not the night of Pesach, it's an afterthought after Kiddush. Oh, what's with the poor guy? What's happening with him? No, that we have to think about now. In the parsha of Korban Pesach, of the celebration of the first Korban Pesach, so Moshe Rabbeinu on Parshas Bo says, "Mishchu k'chulachem tzayin v'shachetu ha'posach." So the Mechilta writes, "Mishchu, mishi yeshlo." like take for yourself, be moishach. Ukhu and purchase, misha en lo, one that doesn't have own. So one of the achronim in his Haggadah says, this is not restating the obvious. If you need a challah for Shabbos, so if you have one in your house, your wife baked one, so you take it. And if not, you go to the bakery. I mean, I don't need the Torah to come tell me how to figure out how to bring a carbon Pesach. If you own an animal, you use it. And if you don't own an animal, so go buy one. So that's not the intention of this mechilta. The intention of the mechilta is that there were a few mishvotim which were very matzliach, and most of the shvotim were very poor in Mitzrayim due to the vicissitudes of the servitude. So what it meant was the following: mishcho mishi yeshlo. If you have the means of getting old korban pesach, get it. Whether it's from your flax, well, you'll buy it, but you're well healed enough to take care of yourself. Ukhu and purchase mishaenlo, meaning the well healed, those that are well endowed, should purchase for the ones that don't have and make sure that they have a korban pesach too. So the geula came about because all of Klal Yisrael was able to participate in the Korban Pesach. And it was statistically, it would seem, that it was only the miut that could afford the Korban Pesach. The Roiv, nine of the shvatim, the Roiv needed the help of the others to make it. Maybe they could put something together, but nine of the shvatim couldn't have made it without the help of the others. That was all would seem pashtus. So most Yidden, that means that we could not have survived, could not have emerged from Mitzrayim. If most of the Yid wouldn't have the schus, then how would we go out? At least we need Reva Klal Yisrael to have the schus to go out. So that means the whole gula took place for one reason, because of the first version of Moos Chitim. And that's what I believe the Rishami indicates. This is a minik kodim, this is an ancient minik. Because in reality it goes all the way back to Mitzrayim. So what we say nowadays is, it's a Seder, Kol Dich Ben Yeser V'Yechol. How are we Mekayim that nowadays? The key was that in these weeks leading up until Pesach, I gave money for the poor to make sure that they should be, that they should have what to eat. But this is only a substitute for the original. The original is that we came to Yerushalayim and we hung up a sign called Ditzchach Yeser V'Yifsach. If you need help with a Korban Pesach, right, call 1-800-KORBAN, and that's it, and we'll set you up, we'll take care of you. We'll give you a coupon and you'll go get yourself a Korban Pesach. So what we're saying to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is, now we're in Golus. All we have left is Kol Dich Ben Yeser V'Yechol. But what we desire is called Ditzrach Yeser V'Yifsach. Is the Shana Habo, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam should grant that the Kiyum shouldn't be in terms of Kol Dichven. That's what we did this year. But next year, Be'ez Hashem, should be called Ditzrach Yeser V'Yifsach. The original form. We should be Zeichah to bring the Korban Pesach. And if they'll be impoverished, the Klal Yisrael, so we should give them the means of bringing the Korban Pesach. That should be the concern. That's why I believe, despite the fact the Zohar says that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam has little interest in Achagim if we just celebrate for ourselves and we're not involved with the Aliyim. But beyond the fact that Stoko, and it's really even mentioned in the Torah, Parshas Re'eh, Balevi, Ager, Vayosam, Amon, Asher, B'Sharecha, that we have to look out for them. But Pesach has another dimension. As we know, the emphasis on Stoker before Pesach is historically and culturally much stronger than any other Chag. And I believe that's not only for the practical terms that Pesach is an expensive yontif, inevitably, but it's in larger theological terms, because that's what enabled the Gula to take place. So this activity is intimately associated with the events of Pesach. If the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave us this chus, and we had to extend ourselves to others. So it's this involvement which brings about the initial gula, and therefore that's why in the halachas it's also incorporated. It's a very interesting. Nachisa v'chazdecha amzuga olta nehalta v'ozacha v'veikotshecha aposik in the Shiras Hayom. It's a very interesting interpretation of this posik. I believe it's in the Psikta, which renders a very unusual interpretation of this posik. In the simplest terms, this posik means Lachisa v'chazdecha amzuga olta, means the Rabbeinu Shel Olam with his chesed has led the Klal Yisrael. But the Psikta does not interpret the posik this way. The Psikta interprets the posik in the following fashion, that the Zman of the Geula came, or he felt that it should have come, and yet, well, we were growing weary. We're waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing's happening. So Klal Yisrael began to do chesed for each other. And that's the chisa v'chast hamzuga olta, that the Rabbeinu Shalom takes stock of the chesed that we extended for each other. And therefore, the chisa v'chast is amzuga olta. The Rabbeinu Shalom has redeemed us, and the schus of the chesed that we did for each other. And it's interesting that in a way we've come full cycle in Jewish history. If we stop to think about it, Migdash Sheni was destroyed for what reason? As Alphonse? For Sinas Chinuch. So Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik HaKadosh Levrocha writes in the preface to the Sefer Chofetz Chaim that if we wish Mashiach to come, then obviously we must rectify the chet which brought about the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And he says the principal meaning of Sinas Chinam is Loshon Hara, and it's really, it's reflected, it's based on a Rashi and Harizokim which indicates that. But the absence of the appropriate Avos Yisrael, he's writing, is what does not allow the Golus to end. If we would rectify the deficiencies in Avos Yisrael, then we should merit that the Gula should end, that the Gula should come already. So, just as, let's say we've come full cycle, in Mitzrayim, what effectuated the Golus is the concern, the compassion, the ava that they had for each other. The chis of chastecham zuga olta. So now the Chofetz Chaim tells us that what do we need now? We need the same thing. The same thing, no different than that which we needed back in Golus Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is the paradigm for our redemption too. We've come full cycle. So the chesed that's involved in the Chag of Pesach is not merely incidental, and it's not merely practical, but it touches the deepest aspects of the merits which brought forth Gula Yisrael. Korban Pesach, the chesed that we did for each other, the necessity of that chesed in the Gulas Yisrael, from this Golas, all of these are tied together in the Chesed activities which precede the Chag of Pesach. Good night, Rabbi Yisrael.
Shkera.